All right. So there was a lottery in Texas, and this is actually a joke for you two personally. So there was a lottery in Texas, and third place got a 2-week all expense paid trip to California. Second place got a 1-week all-expense-paid trip to California. First place didn't have to go to California. Oh, man. Just for you two. All right. This Sunday, just a reminder, this Sunday, we've got, instead of door knocking, we're going to do door hangers. And we've got them all over there in the fellowship hall, and we're going to cover as many doors as we can cover Sunday afternoon. And we've got 2,500 door hangers, and we'll do what we can from here till VBS, or VBS. And we are also in the over in the fellowship hall. I also got all of the mail-outs for bulk mail. There's 5,000 of those. And we've got postage paid for 4,300, a little over 4,300 homes. And between those and the 2,500 door hangers, we are going to cover just about all of Beeville. So, and those mail outs, they have the gospel on the back. They've got VBS information on the front, and then the gospel is on the back. So, kind of kill two birds with one stone. So, we are going to get as many out. And the thing with the bulk mail, we just got to package those things up into bundles of 100, and then we'll take them over to the post office on July 1st, and they will just get them into every single mailbox. And it's a pretty simple thing. It's just a matter of us packaging them together and taking them over there. So those are the announcements. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews. We started this, since we're finished with Corinthians, we started the book of Hebrews for Wednesday nights. And I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 2, because all of chapter 1 explains what he's about to say in chapter 2 and why he's going to say what he says. So in Hebrews chapter 2, the point of chapter 1 is the writer of Hebrews, probably Paul, but whoever it is, the writer of Hebrews is comparing Jesus Christ to angels. And of course, angels are a big deal to a lot of folks. And a lot of false religions have been started because someone said they saw an angel, got a message from an angel. And when you go through the Bible, angels are used particularly with the nation of Israel. They really aren't used with Gentiles. And so you'll see angels show up confirming things with the nation of Israel. But you really, when the gospel starts going out to Gentiles, you're not really seeing much with the angels anymore. And in fact, Paul even makes a warning, and that's about the only time you hear about angels. When Paul warns the Gentiles, you don't need to be fiddling with them. And so he talks about it in Galatians. But look over in Hebrews chapter 2, and let's see what he says here in verse 1. It says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." The comparison here is If God confirmed everything by angels in the Old Testament and with the Jews, he was confirming things by angels, how much more should you listen, talking to the Hebrews now, let's keep that in mind, this isn't a book called Gentiles, it's called Hebrews, but he is pleading with the Hebrews saying, how much more should you listen to Jesus Christ himself? If he did all this by angels and every word of the angels was confirmed with and every word was confirmed with some kind of sign, or everything that they said was steadfast and the transgression and disobedience was received a recompense, reward, all that kind of thing, then how much more should you listen to Jesus Christ himself, who's the Son of God? And so that's where you end up in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. But where do you start? Go back to Hebrews chapter 1 and look at this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, notice the context, these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We'll stop there. Let's pray. And we're going to go through a comparison of Jesus Christ and angels, because that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 1 is. But let's pray. Father, thank you for everybody that's here this evening. I do pray for Kim, and I know Craig, they're traveling up to San Antonio for Kim's surgery in the morning. Pray that you get her through that and without any kind of repercussions, and that she'd heal up quickly and this surgery would address the lump that's been bothering her for so many years. I pray for just the preaching tonight, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's a lot of material going over this chapter, but I pray it's very helpful, very nourishing, that you'd feed your flock with it. Pray for Cynthia over there with the kids. I pray that they'd get prepared for the play or the acting out the book of Job, and that you'd help her with that, help the kids with that. And they'd remember those things by acting them out and getting them into their minds and really thinking about the scriptures and what's in the scriptures. And I thank you for getting Gary and Rhonda back here safely, and thank you that they're back here. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will just have liberty among us tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Hebrews chapter 1, the writer is comparing Jesus Christ to angels. And the reason he's going to make that comparison is because Jesus Christ is the final word on what God is saying to the Hebrews particularly, but then also to everybody, but talking to the Hebrews particularly. When he says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, there's a good cross-reference with that, and I'm going to show it to you. Look over in Matthew chapter 21. We'll turn a few times here and get some cross-references. Look at Matthew chapter 21. There was a parable that Jesus Christ told the Pharisees. And you know how the Pharisees were, boy, when they figured out what he was talking about, that he was talking about them, they always got mad at him. And they were always seemed to be the subject of his parables. But in Matthew chapter 21, you've got a good cross reference to what you just read in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 33. The Bible says, Jesus Christ talking here, he says, hear another parable. There's a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Asking the Pharisees that. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto him, do you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. Is it marvelous in our eyes? Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whosoever it shall fall on, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. So that's a good cross-reference to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, where he says, in the last days has spoken unto us by his Son, because that was the last person that was sent to the servants to gather up the fruit. And what they did with him in the parable was they killed the Son. That's Jesus Christ. And so when you get to the book of Hebrews, it is a plea to the Hebrews. Look, you're going to have to listen to Jesus Christ because he is the last word on everything. And in comparing him, go back to the book of Hebrews and we'll just go through chapter 1 here. And I'm going to make some comments as we read it because it's just basically verse by verse comparisons here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. But notice Christ's better credentials. Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. All right, he never did that with any angels. There are no angels that are heirs of anything. By whom also he made the worlds. The worlds weren't made by any angels. And you'll see he's going to start incorporating some Old Testament as we go on here. But now he's just given credentials. By whom he also made the worlds, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now that is all a description of Jesus Christ. And that description of Jesus Christ, there's not an angel in the world or out of the world that can touch that description. There's not an angel that had anything to do with creation, not an angel that had anything to do with purging anybody's sins, not an angel that has anything to do with being the image of God, none of that. But I like that in verse 3, and I'll make a couple comments about this. I like that phrase in verse 3 that says, had by himself purged our sins. You see that? By himself purged our sins. Meaning, and you guys get it, you understand what he's saying. That means that Jesus Christ himself didn't need any help to purge sins. He did it. I notice also there are some things that don't purge sins, and I'll just throw these out there for you. Fire doesn't purge sins. You know, there are some doctrines like purgatory and the Roman Catholics believe that, you know, you go to purgatory and you purge the rest of your sins away. The problem is fire doesn't purge sins. It doesn't do that. Goodwill doesn't purge sin. That's what a lot of people say, you know, goodwill. Well, I've done good. You guys understand that. Goodwill doesn't purge sin. Church doesn't purge sin, and y'all know that. Faith, here's one, just pay attention to it, but faith doesn't purge sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ purges sin. Faith is your trusting in that blood. But your faith doesn't even purge sin. It's just trusting in the blood that did purge your sin. So Jesus Christ, Bible says, by himself purged our sin and then sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. All right, so you just got a list of credentials. If you wanted a resume, boy, that is a resume right there for Jesus Christ. He's the creator. Everything's held together by his words. Some of the disciples found that out one night in a boat. They found out that he controlled the winds and the waves. He could just say the words and everything would stop. And it's interesting that creation obeys God, but there's only one thing in creation that doesn't, and of course that's mankind. Everything else will listen to him. But that is the credentials of Jesus Christ. And there are a lot more, but that's the ones listed there in Hebrews. The next thing I want you to notice is when after he gives those credentials, he begins to compare and use Old Testament scripture to show you a comparison, even in the Old Testament, of Jesus Christ. Look in verse 5. He says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?" All right, no, God never said that to any angel. And we could go through, and I thought about giving you all the verses, but I think you could probably look these up, but it's a lot of verses because it's just one after the other. verse 5, second part of it, he says, "And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." All right, something else he only said to Jesus Christ. God the Father never said that to any angel. Verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." You read about that in Luke. When Jesus Christ is born, you've got all the angels praising God and worshiping God. Again, you see, let's see, verse 7, "And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." All right, so the angels are ministering spirits. Jesus Christ became a man. The angels you'll find in the Bible, they're ministering spirits. They're usually, for the most part, I can't even think of an instance where they are associated with Gentiles at all, but usually confirming the Word of God to the Jews before you have a whole Bible, you know. They're confirming the Word. You've got an angel that shows up to Daniel. You guys remember that? Daniel's praying and trying to figure out what in the world is happening in Babylon. How long are we going to be here? How long is this judgment going to take place? And then an angel shows up and he explains the whole situation. He says, this is what's happening. And so God uses him as a ministering spirit to explain to Daniel what's going on. I used an angel to minister to Elijah. When Elijah got depressed, got under the juniper tree, an angel showed up, made him some bread and water and fed him and gave him a drink and then let him go back to sleep and then did it again and ministered to him. An angel answered the prayer of Hezekiah one time in the Old Testament. Remember Hezekiah? He's in Jerusalem and Assyria is surrounding Jerusalem. They're encroaching in. They've taken Samaria. They've taken the northern part of Israel. And now they're coming into Jerusalem to destroy Jerusalem. And Hezekiah just begs God to do something. And he sends one angel. And that one angel in one night destroys 185,000 Assyrian troops. And so Hezekiah wakes up the next day, looks over the wall, and all the army are just a bunch of dead bodies. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, he hasn't lifted a finger. They haven't shot an arrow. They haven't sent a fireball. They haven't done anything other than he prayed and begged God for help. And God sent one angel and destroyed a military. One angel. And so those angels are ministering spirits. They helped. They answered the prayer of Hezekiah, preserved Jerusalem for a few more years. But it was an answer to prayer. But notice, angels are not intermediaries. They don't stand between you and God. That's what some people gather about angels, and they want angels to be intermediaries, or they had some experience with an angel. And you know, you ought to think about this. Let me ask you this: if somebody saw an angel, God would have to show you an angel. I mean, you can't just look and find an angel, can you? You couldn't look around and say, oh, there's one over there. So God would have to reveal an angel to you. All right, think about this then. If God would have to reveal an angel to you and have to show you where he is and what he's doing, and he does that sometimes in the Bible, but he would have to show you where he is and what he's doing, there are some folks who aren't saved who claim to have experiences with angels. One of three things is true. Either God actually showed them an angel, which is pretty questionable, because Paul tells you don't mess with the angels, there's no point in messing with them, or they're just lying about their experience, or they actually believe they had an experience that they didn't have, which is possible. There are, we'll get to the point of all this, but what it boils down to is if an angel doesn't line up with the words of God, you already have the words of God. So there really isn't any higher authority. Because you heard it from an angel doesn't make it more authoritative. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it doesn't really matter what an angel says. And so anyway, what you find out is, let me show you this verse here. Look in Colossians chapter 2. This goes along with what I just told you about people looking into things and claiming to have visions of things that they don't have visions of. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Colossians 2:18 says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind." Isn't that wild? You see that? You guys see that? Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. So either they're self-deceived, they think they saw something, or they're just lying about an experience. And I say that because you can name right off the bat three or four religions come to mind that were started because someone claimed to see an angel. Muhammad claimed to see an angel. And he claimed to get information from the angel Gabriel, and that's what gave him the Quran, and that's the story behind all that. The reality is the Quran came together later. Muhammad couldn't write any of that stuff. But he claimed to see an angel that told him what was going on. You got a warning here 600 years before Muhammad's ever born saying, don't listen to someone intruding into those things which they don't know anything about. That it wasn't revealed to them. Joseph Smith of the Mormons, he claimed to have a vision of an angel that gave him some golden plates that told him about the Mormon religion. What am I saying? I'm saying there's a real reason for Paul's warning, because this is what happens when people start claiming to see things outside of the Word of God. They start claiming extra revelation that's not real revelation. So there's a warning about that stuff. And going back to Hebrews, he says, look, the angels are ministering spirits. They're not mediators. They don't stand like Jesus Christ stands as a mediator between God and man. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. An angel is just a ministering spirit. Go back to Hebrews and let's see some more things here. In verse 9. I tell you what, go down to verse 10. Hebrews 1:10. It says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." All right, that is, no angel ever did that. "They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment." And I love this part. This is cool. "And as this vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed." Like dirty laundry. Just fold them up and get rid of them. "As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" All right, so he keeps comparing him. Jesus Christ excels angels in birth. He excels angels in the care of the Father. He excels angels in authority. He excels angels in his desires. You see that in 8 and 9, 10. He excels angels in his consistency. You know, there are some angels that weren't consistent. You read about that in Jude. You read about that in Genesis chapter 6. Some angels fell. Some angels didn't, they left their first estate, the Bible says. And Jesus Christ never did that. He excels angels in inheritance. In every one of these, it's the writer of Hebrews just going back to the Old Testament, pulling out some verses and explaining, look, this applies to Jesus Christ, and this is why he's better than angels. And he is the last word on this. And so after Hebrews chapter 1, and this is, we'll wrap it up here because there's not a whole lot more to say about it because it's just a comparison. But he says all that to bring the Hebrews to a point to say, look, he is better. Jesus Christ is better than the angels. He is the creator. He is the savior. He is the heir. He's got the inheritance. He's got all that stuff. And if the angel's word was confirmed, how much more shall his word be confirmed? If God confirmed all those angels' words and gives signs and all that stuff, like 185,000 Assyrian troops dying in a night, how much more shall he give credence to his own son's word? And so that's where you get chapter 2 and all those first verses 1 through 5 there. So Christ is better, his credentials, he's compared to angels. And the reason is, all through Hebrews, he's going to go back to the fact that the problem was Israel had been given the words of God. They had been given all the revelation of God. They were the nation that God had elected. That's not salvation. That is, he had chosen them to represent himself. And all the oracles of God would come through Israel. So if you're going to learn something about God, you're going to learn it from a Jew. Or somebody who learned it from a Jew. You have to. That is the nation that God chose to reveal himself through. And that nation rejected everything God revealed to them. Now, there are a few that didn't, obviously. But as a whole, the nation rejected. And so now, the writer of Hebrews is making a plea with the Hebrews here in the last days. Look, you're going to have to get back to square one here. You're going to have to listen to what God said because judgment is on its way. And if you don't get back now, there isn't much time to get back. We'll see that as you go on, but notice at the beginning of Hebrews, he says, hath in these last days, so you know you're at the end of time. Just a kind of a recap here. When the gospel goes out to the Jews, it's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's the book of Acts. You got Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's the transition in the book of Acts. In Hebrews now, you've got everything coming back to Jerusalem. So the Holy Spirit's work was going out in Acts, and now it's coming back in Hebrews. And so now he's dealing with Hebrews. You've got 13 letters from Paul to Gentiles. And now you have a book called Hebrews that's not directed to Gentiles. It's directed back to the original folks who had the revelation of God. And now there is a plea to listen this time. Listen to him. And so he says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and so on and so forth. You get the idea. What you're going to find in Hebrews, just to wrap it up with this, what you're going to find in Hebrews is Paul or somebody like Paul going over and going to the Old Testament and applying it to Jesus Christ and showing how Jesus Christ was the whole point of Hebrew culture. He was the whole point of the prophecy. He was the whole point of the laws. He was the whole point and the picture and the thing that he was the person that cast the shadow over Hebrew culture. And now he's here. He's been here. He's died. He's resurrected. And now if you don't listen to him, your culture doesn't have any meaning because he was the point of the culture. Everything pointed to him. And so in Hebrews, he's going to go back over and over and over and over and show how Jesus Christ is all of those things and the law and the prophets, all that stuff. and try to deal with Hebrews on the basis of their culture, basis of the Old Testament. And so you're going to get a ton of Old Testament verses and references in the book of Hebrews. So the point of this first chapter is to compare Jesus Christ to angels and show His superiority to angels. And say, look, if God confirmed everything in the Old Testament by angels, how much more is His Word, His Son's Word, how much more is that important? Like He says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Look, if you're going to throw His words away, you don't have anywhere to go anymore. There's no place to go. So it's a comparison, like I said, to Jesus Christ and angels, and lots of Old Testament references, lots of scripture, but I hope that's helpful to you. I wanted to just give you guys a kind of an overview to see what in the world you're dealing with here when you go through the book of Hebrews. And like I said last time, if you ever overheard a conversation, and you might have, I don't know if you've ever done this, where you overheard a conversation and you got bits and pieces of it and you took some of it personal and you thought, oh man, I can't believe they're saying that stuff, and then maybe you spread it around a little bit. In Hebrews, you're overhearing a little conversation between the Hebrews and Paul or whoever's writing the book of Hebrews here. And it's not directed to you, but you're going to learn a lot of stuff from it. You're going to learn a lot of stuff from it. So I hope that is helpful to you, that overview of Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll wrap this one up. Father, thank You so much for Your words. I pray this has been helpful to just give an overview of Hebrews chapter 1, really all of those verses. There's so much, much in all that. We could preach on Jesus Christ as the Creator, Jesus Christ as the Heir, but I wanted to get a little overview of what in the world is being talked about here and why it's being talked about. Pray it's been helpful. Thank You for everybody that's here tonight. I do lift up Kim to You. Pray that the doctors give him wisdom, get that surgery. Pray that it would take care of what needs to take care of, and you get her and Craig, Sam home safely. And thank You for everybody that's here tonight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, does anybody need...